HTXT AfriCast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities. Hey, this is Brett Haggard from HTXT Africa, doing a live HTXT AfriCast here from Maker Faire in Johannesburg. I'm here with Mohammed and Hits from Intel. Intel is a sponsor of Maker Faire this year. Something that's got me a little bit confused, guys. So you guys make like processors and boards for like gaming machines, and you guys make all of the internals that go into notebooks, and you make these huge high-performance computing systems. You make SSDs. What are you doing at Maker Faire, and why have you guys sponsored Maker Faire?
So Maker Faire, I mean, it's Mohammed speaking, but Maker Faire, we're glad to do it here in South Africa. The first Maker Faire we did was in Rome. In 2013, it was actually launched by BK, Brian, our CEO. And Brian himself, he's also one of the makers. And he really enjoys this space and this area. But being in Maker Faire and being in the hacker community, hacker space, you have the ability to meet and see some of the innovative and creative ideas from a local community. And that's what drives creative thinking back at Intel. And we can see what's happening locally, and that can drive some of the innovation and cultivate some ideas as we move forward with our plan, like you said, some of the existing products and things that we do.
Yeah, so, you know, Intel was started by a group of makers a number of years ago. And, you know, the Brian Krzanich, our new CEO, the first event he went to after he became a CEO that he spoke at was at Maker Faire Rome. And, you know, some of the products which we're showing here, the Galileo board, which has a clock processor on it, and Edison, that was a product which a small team at Intel built. But we saw the benefits it could bring to the maker community. And, you know, if you know Intel from the past and Andy Grove's saying of only the paranoid survive, well, we see innovation and disruption that takes place in this community. And anything that happens here, ultimately it gets to a level where it will impact on a global scale and in computing and all of those vectors that you talked about, high-performance computing and elsewhere. You know, some of the innovation that's coming out of these spaces is amazing. I mean, the whole democratization of hardware that's occurred over the last few years of people being able to make products, being able to sell them through various sort of Kickstarter site and communities, things that you saw in the software space a number of years ago where app developers came out of nowhere, developed an app, put it on an app store, and suddenly they have a business selling, you know, millions of copies of a game. So I think what happened in the software space a number of years ago is happening in the hardware space, and some of these guys are going to grow up and create real businesses out of these opportunities.
How do you see that kind of stuff feeding back into the loop, into the greater beast that is Intel? Are we talking about somebody that's taking a technology like Galileo or Edison? And let me just confess, the like whole preamble was me just poking some fun. I just got back from IDF a couple of months ago, and there I saw Edison and Galileo in action. I kind of get the fact that you guys have carved out a completely separate focus inside the company on Maker, because that's going to be really, really big. My understanding, at least in terms of that, was it's really just about addressing a market of people that are building products that might or might not have some form of electronics in them, but definitely would require some form of intelligence in them from a command and control perspective, or a harvesting big data, wearables, it'll go into that kind of stuff. But the question is, how does what's going on in the maker culture start feeding back into the product development of things like desktop computers, notebooks, big data centers, solid-state drives? Is it really about just gauging what makers' requirements are for technology and then adapting your products to make that? Or is there a real feedback loop in terms of it driving new innovation inside your products?
I think it's the latter, what you talked about. I think it's not just about addressing a space and trying to build products to sell products to a certain space. it's the ability for the makers to create a level of computing and affinity at such a low level, which brings that innovation that people can take into the larger spaces. You know, some of the folks in the high-performance computing or other spaces may, you know, to use a crude analogy, may not be able to see the wood from the trees.
Sure.
But this kind of smaller, lower-level innovation that brings through into those other areas, internally, even at Intel, it's helped us define a little bit more of a special sauce in all of these different segments by knowing what drives a maker and the products around those spaces to what drives people in desktop computing or in, you know, in the server computing and everything else. I mean, To take an example in the video space, you know, what we did a number of years ago working with the film studios in rendering or in animation, ultimately those technologies have come to a consumer through creating videos on a smartphone and
you even classify creating those people as makers?
In terms of how technology grows over time and comes towards makers of video films, makers of small clips of animations, or even having GIFs, you know, that's a form of animation and art that people have developed over time. So that's more in the software and the digital content space.
Content,
but I think you see it in the, now you're seeing it more and more in the hardware spaces as well.
Okay, cool. Because you know, it's interesting. Having attended IDF for the past couple of years, something that stuck out, you know, before you guys formally defined Maker as a really big focus area for you guys, and something that you guys were going to address with product, was the whole fact that makers are making things, but they also have a very different view about how technology should behave in their lives. These are also people that incidentally make use of PCs, notebooks, tablets, smartphones. Steampunk was also something that entered quite a really big way into that in terms of the kinds of machines that people would want to make use of and the kind of technology they would want to make use of in the future. Not necessarily for projects, but just shaping the future trends of what they would like to receive in terms of products that are being made by vendors, right? Is that something that's still a fairly big focus, and is that something that you guys are drawing a lot of kind of sentiment and expertise out of the makerspace right now?
So the big idea around, or the big tagline, if you will, for Galileo is, what will you make? I mean, it's on the box, it's on the T-shirts, and it's not what we're trying to push, it's what we're trying to see is possible. What can you make possible? And out of these possibilities, whether they're sensor-based, performance-based, communication-based, or interactive-based, there's a software element as well as a hardware element. And from both the software teams as well as the hardware teams, we support these bilaterally in the sense that we give information, tools, resources, and support, and we hope to gain, absorb massive feedback into what works well, what can we do better, and where is the changes propagating, basically to give us some kind of a direction for what's happening tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
And I think, you know, just to add to that, we're doing this across the board. If you've seen some of the things that, you know, we talked about at IDF around the wearable side.
Yes.
Certainly, you know, let's say in the smartwatch space and other spaces, who knows where the innovation is going to come from? Is it going to be technology companies who are going to develop the smartwatch, which is going to be the best watch? Or is it going to be watch companies who are going to develop the ultimate smartwatch with technology? You know, there's been
There's an interesting crossover right now where you've got fitness brands, for example, inside the fitness tracking space that are going, well, we might not be technology companies, but we know about the use of materials. We know about how those materials stand up right in an athlete's life. We know a lot about ergonomics.
Yeah.
We know also a hell of a lot about what our users need out of their products and the kind of metrics they want. When you look at things from a very technical perspective, you can cater for every single possible metric on the face of the earth, but then, you know, it's designed with an engineer's eye, not with a designer's eye, right? And I think that was a really interesting dynamic, was to start seeing how fashion brands, fitness
exactly
brands, lifestyle brands are starting to actually go,
so
technology is becoming this hygiene factor in what we do. We need to integrate it, but we need to, you know, integrated in the way that we make use of it.
And that additional thought and the expertise that these companies bring out of their space, and then if you ally that with technology to make it easy for them to bring that product to market, that's what our ultimate goal is. We know we
okay,
did that
cool.
with, you know, in terms of the Mika bracelet. We're working with companies like Fossil. This week we announced engagement with Luxottica Group, which owns all of the Ray-Ban, Oakley glasses, and in terms of wearable eyeglass technology. So it's for us, our what we do best is develop the hardware technology, develop the software tools, develop the different usages around it, and then work together in partnership with all of these people in the other parts of ecosystem to develop that. And I think bringing it back to the maker community, same thing here in terms of if we develop the right technology tools, the innovation comes from the individual makers. And, you know, some of those grow into some tremendous disruptive technologies that are out there, which help folks across the board.
So talking about that, what have you guys seen here at Maker Faire today that's blowing your hair back? And I'll give you a little disclaimer. You aren't allowed to talk about the stuff that's on your stand. The stuff that's on your stand is really, really cool. I saw the Rubik's Cube Solver. Now, the most innovative thing about that, or the coolest thing about it, is it thinks it through before it starts solving. So
yes.
While the actual mechanics in terms of moving the cube around are actually quite slow, it's astoundingly slow. You'd
yes.
expect it to, you know, it being a machine, for it to move really, really quickly.
Yes.
But what a lot of people haven't gotten about it is algorithmically it thinks through what the fastest way to solve it is. And then it
Correct.
Doesn't matter how quickly the mechanics work. It's just done in the least possible move. So that's kind of cool. But let's talk about some of the other stuff you guys have seen here today that weren't on your stand that you thought was really, really cool.
So one of the nicest things that I've seen, which is good for me and my kids as well, is the fact that I saw a 12-year-old. He's got a few different robotic systems, if I want to call them that, that either use some sort of a solar sensor, a photo sensor, or a motion sensor to do various different things. And it's not about the ultimate output or the solution that this robot's supposed to provide. It's just that here's a 12-year-old thinking differently with these limited tools and resources, and this is the kind of community that excites Intel and excites myself, is what more can we do with an individual like this? How better can we resource a person like this? And what could they build tomorrow?
See, that's what I love about it. And that's what a lot of people don't get, you know, about maker culture. Often what makers are doing is they're making stuff. They don't know what it is yet. They're just cobbling stuff together, and the result might be useful, might be not useful. It's in their eyes going to be unbelievably beautiful because it's a creation they've made. But you know what I really like about that as well is the fact that you've got if you look at big data is a weird thing right now.
Yeah.
It's like some of the coolest things I've seen come out of the big data space of you know, not somebody looking at a problem and going, we have this problem or we'd like an answer to this, let's go and mine the data for it. The ones that blow your hair back are the, you know, people that say, we've got all this data, let's just throw a whole bunch of analysis at it and see what comes out. All right? And that's the stuff that blows people's hair back. It's like, you know, and it's exactly the same thing. They aren't designed towards a specific purpose in the case of this kid.
Correct.
He's just kind of going, well, I have all these sensors. They can measure stuff.
Yes, yes.
Okay? I don't know what I'm going to use them for yet. I don't know what the end goal is. I'm not trying to, you know, I haven't integrated a temperature sensor or a light sensor here for this specific reason. I've just integrated it here, and if it ends up being useful, that's
because
cool,
it was
right?
Available.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know,
that's
kind of
really, yeah.
So good pick. I like that.
What I loved here was, I think, not so much in terms of the demos, but in terms of the community aspect between the various makers. I mean, just seeing some of them and some of the conversations between them. You know, somebody had, one of the makers was trying to find a robotics company for a certain type of sensor to help them. And, you know, the sharing of knowledge between them, or, you know, the 12-year-old was struggling with some of his switches and how he's working with some of the other guys, and they're helping him out in terms of how can you fix it and how can you look at a solution in a different way. I think that's the whole thing about a community aspect and how people are sharing their knowledge is, because, you know, this is still nascent in a way.
Sure.
And, you know, not all the tools and all of the online sites have everything available for everyone. So, but the sharing of knowledge has been, you know, tremendous around here.
I mean, two things that have stuck out for me. It's, you know, the The one is you have this corner of the area which is dedicated to all of the 3D printers guys, and it's weird. You should like amble down there. They all know each other. They've all got different designs. They're all like close mates with these competing, fantastic, wonderful 3D printer designs. But there's this thing happening in between where they've got this workshop, and who better to actually give the workshop on 3D printing and how to use it, how to build it, some of the challenges they're facing and stuff like that. And there's kids and people that are interested in 3D printing that are like probably never used it before in their lives that are like hanging out right now with some people that have built like some of the coolest 3D printers available today. So that's kind of rad. The other has been, and this is something that seldom actually peaks for people that look at things from a technology perspective. Maker culture is not just about tech, which I think is quite interesting as well. It's about creativity. Yeah. We've got a lady over here that's making these giant sculptures out of paper plates. She's developed this little die that you use to fold paper plates. She's this gigantic chandelier light fitting, which looks super impressive.
Right.
It's made with 36 paper plates, which is like super, super impressive. There's a dude standing over here that's got shredded paper, and he's making alternative fuel using it. So, those super secret documents at Intel that are like for your eyes only, like, because you have them all the time, right? The ones that you have to shred straight off the reading, right? Like, the whole Michelin Impossible stuff. He's taking all of that shredded paper, they soak it in water, and then he's taken a standard silicon glue gun fitting that you'd use to like do your tiles in your bathroom, right? Developed this thing that compresses all of that paper into a puck that dries over a two-day period, and then it becomes fuel that you can use in your fireplace, right? So you're using discarded paper from your company. You can use newspaper, you can use egg boxes, all kinds of stuff. So that's what I've absolutely loved about it. I was expecting to see a lot of cool tech. Yeah. I've seen some cool tech. I've seen some cool inventions. I've also seen stuff that's got nothing to do with tech. And the lovely thing is the people that have been here to make a fair appreciate both that and the tech angle, because we're all, kind of in the same boat around wanting to create stuff and do cool stuff.
And just a last note is, for those of you that are listening, I mean, just because I'm from Intel, I'm going to say this.
You're going to do a shameless plug now. Come on, Mo.
If you do happen to come by our stand, I want you to know that anything that's been developed or demoed, nothing was developed by an Intel engineer or an Intel person. These are solely makers or hackers that have come in, got a little bit of Intel training, and I mean just a couple of days or a few hours, and given some resources, they were able to build these great things. So if you do get an opportunity to come by, do stop by the Intel stand.
What are you guys going to be doing on an ongoing basis outside of Maker Faire? It's a great opportunity, and you guys are getting fantastic exposure for your tools, but at the same time trying to say to people, hey, we've got support structures in place, there's stuff you can build, here are plans, here's help, here's support, all of that kind of stuff. From a programmatic perspective, what have you guys got rolling out over the next year? Are you guys going to do more of these outreach type things, trying to engage like a lot deeper with the community?
So just recently, 3 months ago, we've invested in South Africa a little bit further. Intel has. They've brought on some software and services support. I'm part of that software and support services team. And what that means is that no longer are we just looking at the mature market in the PC and technology sense. Now we're trying to look at what are some of the adjacent things that are going on in the software space. We're trying to see what type of Android development is happening in the small form factor space, in the existing Android development, what's happening in the Windows space, where can we grow in the IoT and embedded space, and then obviously the cloud and data center infrastructure. So these four or five different pillars is where we are trying to grow software and services. Now, software and services at Intel is thousands of engineers that if you add them together would make us the fifth largest company, software company in the world.
Wow.
Just the software division. So we're trying to bring those programs, tools, and utilities into South Africa, and we're starting off in Johannesburg and Cape Town, trying to gauge the ecosystem, who the hubs are, the partners, the universities in Cape Town, the same scenario. How do we engage with them? Do we engage with them differently? What programs are existing, and what programs does Intel have, and where can we plug in? And hackathons and maker fairs are just one of those models to driving some of those solutions.
Okay, cool. Where can people find out more about it?
Intel.com or software.intel.com, and you can sign on to the developer zone at developerzone.intel.com.
Okay, fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of Maker Faire and take care. Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks.
Thanks, Brett.
HTXT AfriCast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.